Well, we will continue on with our focus of the gift of Jesus as you take your Bibles and open to Hebrews chapter 2 this morning. It's our privilege to have Caleb Letzring here with us as part of the Resounding Praise Group. Caleb is an assistant pastor in Avoca, Wisconsin, and he's going to be opening God's Word to us this morning. So Caleb, Lord bless you as you come. Share with us what God has laid on your heart, Hebrews chapter 2 this morning.
Thank you, Pastor. All right, like you said, Hebrews chapter 2 is where we're going to be this morning. First of all, I just want to say, I hope those songs were a blessing to you, and I really hope you captured and were able to sing along with us. That's an important aspect of listening to any kind of music. Sing along with us in praise to our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're going to be focusing on the character of God, much like those songs did here in Hebrews chapter 2, but since Tyler only gave just the quick intro, I'll give a little bit more of an intro. As Pastor said, I am an assistant pastor from Avoca, Wisconsin, which is in the middle of nowhere, southwestern Wisconsin. So if you don't know where that is A-OK with me. I barely know where it is, and I live there. So you may hear them call me by my nickname, which is Letz, which is the first four letters. I think that's four. L-E-T-Z. Yeah, four. Four letters of my last name. That's kind of caught on. It's kind of like the words that come before let's sing, let's read, or my personal favorite, let's eat. So if they go along with that, that's what they call me sometimes. So let's is perfectly fine, or Caleb is equally A-okay. But as we said, I hope you noticed really how those songs really brought out the character of God, as well as our need for him. And more specifically, perhaps even the character of Christ. I think of that song, Lord, I need thee. I need you every hour, most holy one. When we see the character of God, when we see and when we reflect on everything that Jesus Christ has done for us, how can we first off not help but sing? But how can we not recognize all the more how much more that we need our holy and gracious God? And as I was singing some of the songs in preparation for this trip, the Lord really brought to me really the entire book of Hebrews, but especially Hebrews chapter 2. I've had the privilege over the last, I think it's been a year or so, to go through the book of Hebrews in my adult Sunday school class at Avoca. And we are only, after a year, we're only in chapter 3. So that tells you how rich Hebrews is, okay? Honestly, this is a great book. If you haven't read Hebrews recently, please read Hebrews. It's so good. I love Hebrews. And Hebrews is really one of those books that, unfortunately today, when you think of Hebrews, very often you think of the question that is, quite frankly, unanswerable. Who wrote Hebrews? Right? And sometimes we allow that desire to really want to know who wrote the book of Hebrews to get us off its wonderful, wonderful message, because the theme of Hebrews is really all about Jesus. The entire book has a direct focus on Jesus, our Savior. And it answers the question, why Jesus? Why choose him now? And perhaps the most fascinating aspect of this book is that he's writing to Christians. He's writing to Jewish Christians specifically. Specifically, that's who he's targeting. But more important than their ethnicity was the fact that they were believers. Their name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the author addresses them several times as brothers. And all of this is a focus on that. And the reason why that is important is because the message inside Hebrews, though it deals with Jesus, and we can clearly see the good news of the gospel being brought forth on the pages of Hebrews, the message is primarily focused to Christians. That's primarily who the author is targeting. And so as Christians reading this book today, which I highly encourage you to do if you haven't done so recently, that should pique our interest a little bit. Because that means that the same kind of situation that we kind of find ourselves in as Christians, that's the kind of situation they were in. They were believers in Jesus Christ. And because the readers who were reading this wonderful book and they were reminded about all of these wonderful truths about Jesus and what he has done, so much of what we've already reflected on this morning, how he has delivered his children, how he is sanctifying them, how he's made them kings and priests, as the author says in Hebrews, how Jesus is our great high priest, how he is our intercessor. All of these wonderful truths not only apply to the original readers who were Christians, but they also apply directly to us as well. So how do we know these things? Well, the author kind of takes care of that in the first verses of chapter 1, if you want to bounce there to kind of give yourself a little bit of context. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, many differing ways is what the Greek language brings forth there. God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance, the perfect reflection of the glory of God, and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, there's a whole lot there, and quite frankly, that's a whole nother sermon. Next time I'm here, I'll have to do that, all right? But I highly recommend you start there. But that's what the book of Hebrews, that's what it's all about. That's kind of his thesis statement, so to speak, for the entire book. How Jesus is the greatest form of communication of God ever. He's everything that we need to know about God. He's the exact imprint of who God is. That's who Jesus is. That's who our Savior is. All right, so that's a little bit of the Cliff Notes, or the Caleb's Notes in this case, on what Hebrews is about and why the Christian should take heed to Jesus today. And then we get to Hebrews 2, where the author has just shared all of these wonderful, wonderful truths about Jesus and who he is and what he has done, even as the songs we just sang and the ones that we meditated on did. This is what he's meditating on. This is what he's thinking about. And this is the conclusion that he comes to in Hebrews 2. Let's read verses 1 through 4. Therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God, who bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, distributed according to his will. So there's a couple statements that the author makes here. And at the very beginning, he says, therefore, by the way, the word therefore is one of my favorite words in all the Bible because it's a great transition word. One of the things that we preachers always like to remind people of is when you see the word therefore, you have to go back and see what it's there for. That's right. So that's a really important word. So taking all of that that he's just talked about in Hebrews chapter 1, how Christ is the radiance of the glory of God, all of that, this is how he applies it. Therefore, with all of that in mind, we must take more earnest heed. Now, Greek is a pretty cool language. In fact, one of the times I stay with the Diarmans, this is the third time, I think. It's great. It's like my home away from home. And one of the times I was doing Greek on their table in the basement downstairs, I was reminded of that as I went down there and felt the trauma and wonderful thing that is Greek. But Greek is a really cool language, friends. They do so many cool things, the authors do. They like to combine words to make a point all the time. They're constantly making up words. They're probably worse than Shakespeare in that way. They constantly do this. And literally what this phrase means is pay super, super close attention to what we have just talked about. Therefore, we must pay super close attention. I know we have some parents in this room. How many of you have had to just get in your kid's face and kind of snap and go, hey, listen to me. Pay close attention to what I am about to say. That's what this phrase means. That's what he's talking about. And we have two descriptions here as to why the author says we really need to pay closer attention to what we have just learned about Jesus. He says, lest we let them slip. So that's another combination of Greek words. So there's a lot of combination going on here. It combines the Greek word for pass and the Greek word from away from. So the picture here is to let it just pass by. It kind of gives it a description of wind, right? How it passes by. You can't really grasp. You can't really hold on to it. That's what the tendency seems to be when it comes to Jesus. He says, lest we let these things slip. Lest we let them pass by without taking any notice of it. We have a second description in verse 3. It says, lest we neglect them. The other one means to accidentally kind of let it go by, not be able to grasp it. This means pure apathy, pure not caring about it. That's a tendency as well. This is, lest we neglect it, to be careless, to know nothing, but not, or to know what's happening, but not really caring about it. Those are the two tendencies that we as Christians have. That's what the author is saying. I can't help but to think of the song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. There's a phrase in there that is quite relatable. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And part of what the author is warning about here is that tendency that's in every one of us as Christians. The tendency to almost view Jesus as a get-out-of-hell-free card. And this is part of what the author is warning against. Jesus isn't that. Jesus doesn't just stop being a savior after we're saved. Jesus continues to be that. That tendency to forget, to not grasp hold of him, to let it just apathetically pass by, that tendency is within every one of us. And the author really brings that home in verse 3. I wonder if we could read that again. How will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation, which was first declared by the Lord and was attested to us by those who heard? So what does that word escape mean? That's kind of important. That's a word that's going to be used throughout this chapter and throughout Hebrews. It means deliverance, but not just kind of deliverance from a predicament, but really a deliverance from slavery. This word very often is combined in enslaved terms, or being freed as a bondservant. And so the Bible uses it in later in this chapter to show how the Christian now has the ability to live without the fear of death, without the fear of bondage. We have the ability to live that way. Why? Because we have Jesus. And the question that the author raises up here is, where are we going to find any other escape besides in Jesus Christ? Where else are we going to find it? What other place are we, what other person are we going to find the deliverance that Jesus brings? And of course, the assumed answer to that is no. Now, there's a couple things as Christians that we can take away from that. One, we can see it as a warning of judgment if we just forget about Jesus. And some of our Arminian brothers have really clinged on to that thought. But we know from Romans 8:1 that that's not possible. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And John 10, it says, no man shall be able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That includes you. That's a wonderful truth, right? So that's off the table. We can throw that out. Or secondly, and this is the one I'm going to propose, is the more likely answer. We can see it and remember that Jesus is the Christian's only deliverance. The Christian's only continual escape. Jesus is the only deliverance from the cares and the issues of life, and the only way that we can find true godliness and sanctification. That comes from Christ, and it comes from Christ alone. That's what the author is suggesting. Remember who the author is talking to for a second. He's talking to Jewish Christians. Talk about being on the far end of the persecution scale. Right? No other group of people is persecuted more than Jews, and nobody of the Jews is persecuted more than in Christians, even by the Jews themselves. We can't even begin to imagine the kind of persecution that these people were going through. Maybe one day we will, but the persecution that they're going to be facing in the future, that's part of the reason why the author is writing this letter, because they were going to face the kind of persecution that, honestly, the world had not seen. And that's exactly why the author is pointing them back to Jesus. Because the tendency when we go through these trials is to ask that why question. We talked about this a little bit with I Need Thee Every Hour. Sam pointed out that 2 Corinthians passage. Right, we ask when we face pain, very often the first thing we want to do is make sure it gets gone. Right, that's the first thing we want. And the author is simply reminding these people who were trodden down, that we're beginning to face the kind of persecution that we honestly can't imagine here in the United States, that we're beginning to face shame from their own families, ostracization, and he just reminds them, friends, don't ask for the trial to go away. Cling to Jesus. Cling to Jesus first. And that's exactly why the author is pointing them back to Jesus. Because he knows where their hope. He knows where their focus has to be. Their hope must focus on Christ. Friends, this passage reminds me of a couple basic yet crucial principles. It reminds me where our hope as Christians comes from. Even as apart from Jesus, we had, before we were saved, we had no hope. We had no future. The only hope or future that we have now is because of Christ. Any hope that we now have comes from Christ Jesus. And friends, when I consider Christ in this way, as the only hope to face the life that which we now live, the way that the author puts it, when we consider Christ to be our only escape, the only place where we're going to find deliverance, paying extra attention to Jesus becomes quite a bit more important, doesn't it? And that's exactly what the author is asking, is encouraging these readers to do. In Matthew 12, Jesus put it this way, someone greater than Jonah is here. Someone greater than the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon. Someone greater and wiser than he is here. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn to me. He says in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice, I will come unto him and sup with him, and he with me. The author says in verse 4, God has borne him witness through the power of the Holy Spirit. We see the Trinity through the work of Jesus. Where else are we going to find that kind of power? And for those who have believed in him, what is the implication? When we face the sin that does so easily beset us, as the author says in Hebrews 12, where do we turn? Friends, perhaps you're going through a struggle that nobody else in this room knows about. Or maybe some people do know about it, but you just can't get through it. Where do you turn? This passage reminds Caleb that there is only one hope for life and death, and that is my Savior, Christ Jesus. That leads us to a little bit of a second principle. We have to pay extra attention to what the Word tells us about our Savior. Much like we were encouraging you to do with these songs, is to reflect on what the words are saying and to think about them. To not just let them fall by your ears, but to really think about what that means about Christ, what that teaches us from His Word. That's why your pastor encourages you to be in the Word every single day. I know he does it quite often. I've listened to Pastor Juvenile preach. He encourages you often because he knows it's the only way that you can see Jesus, and that's how he is described in the Word of God. That's why we sing all these wonderful songs about our risen Savior. Sing about our sovereign God. Why we sing songs like, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face so that the things of earth will look strangely dim, because they remind us of the hope and deliverance that only our Savior can bring. The question for you and I is, how closely are we going to pay attention to him? Our only hope and deliverance, how closely have we been doing that? Maybe you are saved and you have that hope that you know is going to continue. You have that hope of a future like we talked about in The King and His Beauty. The fact that we are going to see him one day, and when we see him, we will be like him, for we're going to see him as he is in his full glorified body, and we won't croak when we do, which is wonderful. We're going to see him as he is, and you have that hope. But maybe the cares of this life, whatever they might be, whether it be sickness, whether it be a death of a loved one, whether it be a sin that easily so besets you, whatever it might be, maybe that has allowed you to become apathetic or to allow the things of Jesus to pass by. This passage reminds me, and it should remind us, friends, we can't do life without Jesus. We can't. To try to live life without Jesus is bondage, and that's what Jesus has freed us from. Friends, can I encourage you, turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of earth will look strangely dim. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity that we have had to look in your word, to sing all these wonderful truths and glorious promises that we have from you. Dear Lord, we would ask that we would learn them, memorize them, place them in the forefront of our minds, and that we would learn to love you and trust you and cling to you all the more. We do thank you for these things in your holy and precious name. Amen.